The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Christy Matthews. I'm recording today without Michelle, as you can tell, because she usually does this part. I always feel like an imposter a little bit when I do it for her. But I'm recording without her because I am recording live with my guests today at their home in Dallas, Texas. I happened to be back for a wedding. Michelle's in California and the timing just didn't work out. So I'm doing this one without Michelle. I'm really excited to do this interview. And it's been on my list of topics and interviews that I've wanted for a while now that we've been doing the podcast long enough. And I keep coming back to it and I see both of you once a year. At my parents' party. So it reminds me. And then this year I thought I'm going to tell Brenda that what I want to do so that if I put it out there, at least I can't, you know, it's out there. I've told the universe and I've put it out there. So now I have some accountability to come back. So today's topic is a transgender wedding, but bigger than that, I think the topic or the subject matter is more about your personal transgender marriage and why marriage was important to you. And in trying to figure out how to make this the best episode I can for all of our listeners, I kept coming back to this idea that a lot of us take marriage as a commitment for granted. And that's because for many of us, it's just always been something that we thought we would do. And for many of us, we thought we would do it in the body and identity that we were presenting to the world in our 20s, let's say. So that's just a complicated way of saying that most of us identify as cisgender, and statistically, most of us are straight, I guess, that are all of you listening and myself included. So we grow up with this idea that I'm going to be a bride, I'm going to marry a groom, and we're going to live happily ever after. And that was always legal, and we were always able to do that. And at least speaking for myself, I never questioned who I was on the inside versus who I presented on the outside. And I know from just the experience and I guess the community and the village that we have here with my parents and my brother, I know that other people's experiences are very, very different. So I wanted to do a podcast with a transgender couple to talk about why marriage is such a big deal, why it's a big deal that it's legal or that you were able to get married, but in your cases, why you were also able to change your driver's license, which I know talking to you was a huge deal.
Yes,
it and was. Able to live your life every day as outwardly the same way that you feel on the inside. And then coming together as a couple and that commitment and that journey, when you didn't have to get married, you could just have, you know, dated for a decade or whatever, like maybe like you did before, but why it was really important for you to say to each other and to your village at your wedding and on paper that you wanted to spend life together. So that's my rambly introduction that I clearly did not write down for, Brenda and Mason, my guests today. I guess I'm their guest because I'm in their house. So welcome to the pod and thank you for agreeing to be on it with me.
Well, thank you so much for having us. We really do. It's our pleasure.
I know, Mason, you were slightly more skeptical than Brenda, and I know Brenda a little bit better because we met you before you met Mason.
Yes.
Right when you were trying.
Yes, you actually met me a week or so, right around a week or so after I had transitioned publicly.
Right.
So I had only been living as myself.
Like a little baby woman in the world.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I remember you were talking about, like, you had nail polish and you were talking about work.
Yes.
And there was someone kind of mentoring you, our friend Rachel, kind of
yes.
taking you under her wing.
Well, we did after I had to move out of my old house. I moved in with another trans woman who was very gracious in opening up her house to me. And so I was actually there. It turned out I was there for a year, mm-hmm. but that it had not originally planned to be that long. But
sure, you were like getting your shit together. Like life had just blown up, right?
My entire life had completely turned upside down.
Yeah.
I had always said that as long as I had... as long as I had my wife and my kids, I could get through anything.
Yeah.
And then I lost my wife and my kids.
That's how most people, and that's a positive, healthy way to view marriage, I think. Like, no matter what happens, as long as we have each other, you know, we can move, we can go through hard times, we can change jobs, we can change our sexual identities outwardly. And you're, that was like, no, hard stop. Hard stop for me as your wife. So give me a little bit, give our listeners a little bit of background or history, like the quick cliff notes of how you got to, let's say, that day that I met you.
Well, when I was much younger, when I was a small child, I knew I was a girl, but as I grew up, I quickly learned, I'm a pretty smart person, and I quickly learned from those around me that that's not the way they viewed it. And I remember, you know, running away from home, which meant running across the street to the lady who gave me milk and cookies.
Sure.
And
everybody has that.
Oh, yeah.
If you grow up in that neighborhood, it's
yeah, you
it's
know,
good.
The one yeah. with the little picket fence yeah. and so on. And so I did that. And I remember talking with her, and I don't remember everything. I just remember talking with her and just saying something about, well, I'm going to grow up to be like mama. And of course she said, well, pretty much you're going to grow up to be like your dad. And to me, that sounded really weird because I didn't look anything like him.
It had
like
never
him.
Occurred to you.
No, it hadn't occurred. I have fair skin, red hair. My mom's side of the family had fair skin, red hair. But it was more than that. That was a kind of outwardly thing. But I just always figured that that's what I was. And I didn't know the difference. And so, but then I learned, that's something you don't talk about. And I learned to keep it. Oh, yeah. Occasionally we'd have cousins over, and I remember being with, a bunch of cousins together. And, I started to play with the girls and go in the girls' room with them. And I got kicked out. And I was told, no, you can't come in here. It's like, well, why not? So, well, this is for girls only. And I said, well, I'm a girl.
I'm trying to imagine you with, like,
yeah.
you know, the socks pulled up to your knees with the stripes on them and, like, a, you know, buzz cut. And I'm trying to imagine you as a little boy. And because I've seen pictures of you.
I've got pictures yeah. if you want to see them. But
I think, yeah. I think it's a testament to how much, I don't know, work you've put into actually, like, being able to present yourself the way you want to. That it's actually, mm-hmm. it's hard for me to imagine you, you know, as what right. you were, which is without putting like a stereotype on it, but
yes.
boys do boys things and that's the rule.
It is. And that was kind of the part of the confusing part too. Cause like that girl said, well, if you put on girls clothes, they'd make you a girl. I said, well, I don't wear girls clothes, but I'm still a girl. I liked a lot of the boy stuff. I liked climbing trees. I liked riding my bike fast
yeah.
and jumping it. I liked, doing a lot of that type of stuff. I
yeah,
liked cars and motorcycles and stuff. But then I also liked dresses and high heels and purses and makeup. And, at one point knew the name of every shade of lipstick my mother had.
Yeah.
And, you know, I did that all behind everybody's back. And, it was, my brother was sick at one point in time, spent some time in the hospital, and, I got to free run of that. And so that it was very difficult as I started to get older and then go into puberty. I was extremely confused. And, especially because during that time, girls weren't supposed to like, cars and tanks and airplanes. And
right, so you kind of had both.
I had both. And now I identify as a warrior princess. I mean, that's
right.
that's who I am. And so I'm like Wonder Woman as far as I'm walking around with the sword in my back and wondering how the women can fight in what they're wearing. Very different. But now I look back and everything makes sense.
Sure.
But at that time, it was very confusing.
So it was super confusing. And also, it was very clear that the one half of yourself that you were feeling needed to be squashed, a secret, not thought about, quiet.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Fast forward 20 years, you're married to a woman.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are the typical American family, couple of kids, good jobs, suburban life, active in the community.
I was actually, I had done everything I could to be that man. I had gone back into the Air Force. I had gone into as a firearms instructor and then later as a security forces member. I got in a unit that was actually a full-time unit in the reserves. We deployed to Kuwait. I went to U.S. Army Sniper School. I went to ground combat skills training. I did very well in my training. I was known for being a very fierce individual. I was a person who just did not give up. And I wasn't perfect at everything I did, but I was one of those people very tenacious.
But then you went home and played the role well and lived the life of doting husband and father.
Oh yes, I did. I loved my wife. I loved my kids. I still love them. But then I also realized as the relationship went on that, I wanted to be in that role, that I was playing at the role I was at and I was doing the best job I could.
Yeah.
But that when I was quiet and in a room by myself, and I did woodworking and I would be in my shop and I'd end up on my knees and praying and saying, God, what is wrong with me? And when I got honest with God, it was like, I want long hair. I want breasts. I want to be who I think I am on the inside.
And you squashed it for so long, but it's still there. So it doesn't go away. It just becomes...
It does not go away.
An unbearable ache or something you can't ignore anymore.
The thing that opened it up for me was that I called a transgender suicide hotline. I was not actually suicidal at that point. And when I realized that even though I was denying all that to stay with my wife and my kids, I wasn't making my wife happy. I wasn't happy because I wasn't being honest with myself. I was constantly conflicted, which was causing anger problems. Mm. And none of this was endearing me to my kids.
Yeah.
And so when I finally realized this is who I am, and I started to look into it, and I went to see a therapist and then ended up in a support group. When I walked into that support group and as myself, I kind of met myself for the first time. After the divorce was final, then I was able to go ahead. And it was only less than a couple months that after the divorce was final, I was able to get my name and gender changed legally. And that was just phenomenal.
Yeah, a big moment.
It was big. It was he was with me and when I did that, and it meant so much.
Mason, your journey of prior to meeting Brenda, who had recently transitioned, but you transitioned over a decade ago, is that right?
Right, back in 2000. My journey is totally different than hers. Like, I mean, it's exact opposite. When I was a little bitty kid, I always felt something was wrong. It's always felt that, you know, I should be a boy, mm-hmm. male. Fortunately, my parents were pretty liberal about, it seems like all my whole life, except when I was real little, I had pictures of me with dolls. But as I got older, they always let me have whatever toys I wanted.
Right.
And I wanted boy toys, and I got them. You know, I had cars and male action figures and you know, yeah. all that stuff.
Which and, I think is pretty common now, too. Nowadays.
Right. But back then, I mean, I grew up, you know, I was born in 57. So I was, you know, it was a lot different back then. And so I kind of lived this existence where I lived as male as possible. Now, I didn't tell my parents about it. And when I was in high school, I met some gay people who told me about that world because I didn't know anything about it, never really heard of it before. And so at that point, I thought, well, I must be lesbian because I like women. And, you know, so I went through college.
In college, were you an out lesbian?
No, not really. But the college I went to, there were a lot of lesbians. And that's where I met my first partner.
Okay.
She was a senior. I was a freshman. And we were each other's first.
Okay. And they stayed with her for
a long time. We had a holy union, which is like a marriage, but not legal.
At the time, because it wasn't legal.
Right.
So pretty much fresh out of college then?
A lot of people were... Yeah, because I got out of college... Well, she graduated before me, got out of college, and then I worked at this company, and there was a gay woman there. So she told me about the Metropolitan Community Church, which is down in Dallas. And so finally got the nerve to go. So we went one Sunday. It was like the weekend before July 4th. And... I'm a music major, so it'd been a year since I graduated, and I hadn't really played anywhere. I was looking for some place to just play. So at the church, they had this orchestra. So I was so impressed, and the church was so great and so welcoming.
Big time diverse.
Yeah. Oh, it was great. Yeah. I loved it all through the years because they took religions, all different things, and put them together. You know, so it was a combination of everything. So I was up there playing the next weekend, and then the Oakland band had just started back in 1980, and I missed the very first parade because I didn't know about it. But the next month, when I went to the cathedral to the Metropolitan Community Church, the orchestra, most of them were in the band. They decided to keep it as a band because they had formed it just to march in the parade 1980. And several of the people wanted to keep it as a band, and so that's where it came from. So I joined that, and I grew up. I feel like I grew up because I was only 21 back then. I grew up in the gay community.
Yeah. So your village was the village.
Right. Yeah. So I didn't have all the things that Brenda went through. Right. I didn't. Normal. You know. Do I mean I was religious, but with the MCC church. Yeah. And then,
and you were living as a woman with a woman as your partner.
Right. And so, even though I still didn't feel I fit completely, I felt much better in that situation than trying to live in the straight world.
Yeah.
Anyway, I mean, I just couldn't have done it. So I went on, and then in 1997, I met somebody, a friend of mine. I hadn't seen her in a long time. She was in band too, and she was in band, you know, several years, like in the early 90s, and then she disappeared for a while, and she came back around 97. So she asked me one day if I was transgender, and I said, what? You know, why do you ask me that? Well, she was just starting her transition. She had just started on hormones to be a female to male. So she told me about the world. There was a few people starting to do transitions. And there was a doctor. There was a regular doctor here and a surgeon here that you could go to help you.
So she kind of planted the seed?
Yeah. So for the next 3 years, I thought about it. And I was with so it was in my second relationship at that time. So I thought about it. And then in 2000, I decided to do it. So at the beginning, I started setting it up, and I got all, you know, the female surgeries out of the way with my insurance being as female.
Right.
So I could get all that stuff out. And I started, instead of taking estrogen after that, because I didn't have any hormones in my body after the removing everything, I went on testosterone. That was in May of 2000. So, and then I just went on from there, and it was a pretty smooth transition because I was already wearing male clothes and my haircut was male. In fact, a lot of times I went into places as a lesbian, they called me sir first until they heard my voice. My voice was really, really high. And then they say, oh, sorry, ma'am, after I said something, yeah, which was very discouraging because
Keep it. Whatever.
So, you know, so my path was very, very different. It was a lot more support. More support. Now, I didn't come out. My father had passed away back in 1980. So I didn't tell, of course, you know, I didn't ever talk about it with them. I did come out to them when I was in college as being gay or lesbian.
Yeah.
And they were, you know, they were kind of okay with it. They said, you know, we love you no matter what, you know. So I think they would prefer I wouldn't, but they weren't going to disown me or, right. you know, hate me because I was.
Right.
So, but I never had a chance to tell my dad, but I told my mom because I had to tell her because, you know, I was going to be changing.
Yeah.
You know, so I had all these papers printed out with information for her, everything. And she came up to Dallas to visit me. So I sat down with her and told her, you know, and she says, oh, I know all about that. I saw it in Oprah.
Yes, Oprah.
So she was okay with it. But then, you know, she thought about it. I think she had a couple of nights to think about it. And then she asked me, well, can't you just be a strong woman instead, you know, and going through that little stage of, like, yeah. I guess it's the death of something, you know, all the stages, because she was going to lose a daughter and gain a son. And it took her a little while. She never was totally against it or hateful or anything like that. She just didn't really understand why I needed to do this.
Right.
But as time went on, she got better, and she, you know, she sent me, I never forget the first birthday card she sent me is to her son.
Yeah.
It was so awesome. It was so cool.
You okay, know. So yes, you're right. It is a very different journey to the point of transition, and then also actual transition. It
sounds
like you had this supportive infrastructure and examples of positive other people living their life and being like, you got to do this. You only, you know, I've heard before people say the only regret I have is not doing it sooner.
Right. Right.
So you're in Dallas, you're supported, you're going to a supportive church, you have friends,
right.
you know people who are transitioning or have transitioned. That's your life. And now, if you guys could talk about when you met, and we don't have to go into details about it, but just like you met and you decided to get married fairly soon after you met, right? I mean, it was a short and relatively courtship.
Right.
So, having been married before, Brenda, and Mason, having practically been married, but not legally signed that piece of paper.
Right.
How did you guys view the institution of marriage? Like,
well, me coming from the background of we were not allowed to be married, so we didn't get the benefits. And the closest thing we could have is a holy union, like go to a church that accepted us and have a ceremony, but it's just not legal. So it's like I always envied the people that could get married. It's like they just take it for granted. They just grow up, oh, I'm going to get married.
Yeah.
We couldn't do that.
And then get married again.
Right. We couldn't do that.
So what are some of the benefits? Like, I know that there's tax benefits. I mean, just logistics. There's tax benefits. There's getting to live together, but in this day and age, people live together without.
To me, it feels like, you know, when you have that bond, you make that commitment and you sign the paper, it's like you become a family with that other person. You are viewed from all the outside world. When I had my first relationship, we were Holy Union. We'd go places people wouldn't view us as a family.
Right.
But with Brenda, we're together and we're married. Everybody, it's so cool because everybody,
accepted.
Yeah, it's all accepted, and yeah, and we are totally, you know, they look at us like we're a family. And I didn't want to be in a relationship just to be in a relationship.
Right.
I wanted to be with somebody I loved and would love me.
So I wonder if that kind of equals like so marriage just made sense.
We
found that.
Yeah, because you know, I don't know if I ever really believed in love at first sight. It's kind of like a Hollywood movie.
Yeah.
Thing, but when we met, it was at a restaurant and we had dinner. It's like when she was sitting there talking, it's just like something inside me, I knew that was my person.
Yeah. And the idea of marriage providing that family.
Right.
Was still a big pull for you.
Right.
And did you know Brenda?
Oh, yeah. When we finally met and things just clicked.
Because you had talked online, you mean?
We had talked online for
2 weeks. For 2 weeks. Which is funny because after 2 weeks, I finally, you know, asked her to meet me. And she's like, it took you 2 weeks. To me, it didn't seem like it was just 2 weeks. Yeah,
but
you know?
Every day. It does, you know.
And that's the thing is that that's kind of our harmony of the opposites.
Yeah.
Is that he's the planner. He's the more cautious one.
He compartmentalizes.
And figures things out. And while I can understand that and I can kind of do that for a little bit, I am much more the person who jumps in with both feet.
Right, so you never do anything.
No, I don't do things halfway.
But were you ever, like, meeting him, being blown away, like, this is amazing, but you've never been with a man before, like, in the context especially of being a woman, did you ever say, like, I gotta pull back, I'm...
No.
No.
No, with him it was very natural. He's the first guy and the only guy I've ever kissed.
Did your friends tell you, like... Slow down. Mm-hmm. You're just coming out of
her,
something.
For her, yes.
I think I would. If I was your friend, I'd be like, I love Mason. I think he's a great guy. But Brenda, you have been through so much. Maybe you need to get to know yourself, like spend some time with Brenda. All those like girlfriend things, you know, take some time out. But you could dismiss that because you knew just as much as you knew who you wanted to be. You knew you wanted to be with him.
Yes, I did. And the thing was, is that I knew that, but, for a cisgender person, it's easy to say, oh, there's more fish in the sea. For a transgender person.
You're like, if I miss this, it might not come back.
But also, in my old relationship, I only knew my ex, 8 months to the day that I married her. And we stayed together for 25 years because up at that point, I had pretty much decided, realized what I wanted. Well, what I was looking for. And so when, after that fell apart 25 years later and I've got this new life, I'm praying. I wanted to meet somebody who would love me and accept me just as I am, but look at me like I was 5 years along.
Right.
And he did.
That's what I mean about you guys having kind of jumped the time anyway.
Right.
Was there also something to like wanting to start life together now because you are older?
Yes, exactly. That's because we were together a little over a year. It's like I'm 62 now. I'm 61 now. And, you know, that was just a couple of years ago. I'm 59 when I met her.
Okay.
So and it's like, you know, I'm not going to, I know I love you. You love me. We are going to be good together. So I don't want to wait and date for 7 or 8 years or whatever.
I
want to be 70.
Husband.
I don't want to wait till I'm 70 and get married. You know,
you don't look a day over 50.
Thank you.
And I am 50, I'm 54. And when I met him, with me, it was, I actually was more, as we started to date, I let it be known I'm a marriage girl.
I'm ready.
I wanted to make sure he understood that I wanted to be married.
I didn't want to be in
a relationship.
Like the partnership of your marriage, even when you were married before.
Yes.
That dynamic. Same person to come home to, someone to count on, the ups and the downs. Mm-hmm. I do feel like people either are that or not, but I feel like it doesn't matter which one you are. Most people get married anyway. Mm-hmm. And that's the crux of like, maybe you too. I mean, I'm a wedding planner. I sit across from people. You guys have been holding hands or, you know, your shoulders have been touching the whole time we've been talking. We sit across from people that were planning their weddings and they barely look at each other, let alone touch each other. Or they're super young, so young that it makes me go, oh, please go experience life. Like, I'm a wedding planner. I'll take your money. I'll plan an amazing wedding. I will support you. I believe in marriage. but you guys need to travel and like see the world and do some drugs and go to concerts and make mistakes and like live before you do this together.
And because that's what I have done.
It's hard.
I've done that.
So you've done that. You both, it seemed like the perfect storm that even though you came from like crazy town, Brenda, for your last couple of years before you met Mason, it seems like you both came to the table at that restaurant or in the first couple of weeks, kind of like pretty serious from the, like ready from the beginning, knowing how you felt about each other.
Well, we had,
I think part of that does come with age.
It does. Well, we had talked for a couple of weeks, and what would happen is we're both sci-fi people. And so he would make a reference to something. He would make some veiled reference and I would pick it up.
Gamers?
Not gamers.
Movies.
No, movies.
Okay, so sci-fi was a way that he could drop some, I'm right. not be the person. You could drop some kind of joke and she would get it in a room full of people that maybe wouldn't understand.
Right. Because so, sci-fi is really important. Music and sci-fi are my top two
passions.
Things. Yeah. Yeah. So I really wanted somebody that I could share watching like Star Trek and all the Star Wars and all that stuff with that would enjoy it as much as I do.
Yes, because people that like important. It love it.
Right.
People that don't like it.
Right.
Like me, just don't get it.
Right.
I don't get it as much as some people don't get what you were talking about. Like a cisgender person could never understand. Mm-hmm. I'm like cis sci-fi. I just don't get it. Even Star Wars, which I know is like the pinnacle, you know, and all the allegories and the ancient stories of good versus evil, and I get it, but I don't get it. I mean, I watch it and I'm like, snore. Yeah. And my kids are into it. Anyway, that's a tangent.
Hey guys, Michelle here. Hope you're enjoying this awesome episode. We wanted to take a moment and thank our sponsors, Indochino.
Indochino Custom Menswear is our sponsor for today's episode. And I just did a wedding in Texas with two grooms, and they were both outfitted in full Indochino three-piece suits. They looked amazing. Shout out if you guys are still listening. I know that their process buying the suits was really fun and they had a good time customizing everything. So we are excited to talk about how Indochino is able to outfit grooms and their parties at the showrooms or with the online wedding planner. So if you don't live near a showroom, you can do it all at home.
Guys love the wide selection of high quality fabrics and colors to choose from, not to mention the option to personalize the details, including your lapel, lining, pockets, buttons, and writing your own monogram. So here's how it works. You book an appointment at a showroom with your wedding party. There's over 40 showrooms in North America, by the way, and have them take your measurements personally in the groom's lounge. Or measure at home yourself and shop online at Indochino.com. You choose your fabric for the inside and out. You choose your design customizations, submit your measurements with your choices, and relax while your suit gets professionally tailored and mailed to you in a couple of weeks.
This week, our listeners can get any premium Indochino suit for just $359 at Indochino.com when entering Big Wedding at the checkout. Indochino.com and enter Big Wedding at checkout. That's 50% off of the regular price for a made-to-measure premium suit, and shipping is free.
Again, that's Indochino.com. Promo code Big Wedding for any premium suit for just $359 and free shipping. It's an incredible deal for premium made-to-measure suit. Once you go custom, you don't go back. Thank you, Indochino.
So tell me, the decision to get married came a year after, or you got married a year after you met?
Yeah, well, sort of. Well, for 1 year, she was still living at Rachel's, and she would come every weekend to Dallas. So we did that until I met her in January. In November, my lease was up. My apartment lease is up. I had another roommate, and
So it does come down to the quandary of like, well,
yeah. So
should you just move in?
Right. Yeah. Yes. So that's what we decided, and so we moved. We were living in apartments that's next to these, and we moved over here because they were a little bit bigger and nicer apartments. So we came over here and we lived together from November, and we got married the next May.
Okay.
I proposed.
So it wasn't like a rush.
Right. I proposed to her in November, and I was going to get her a ring, but her card was totally dead. I mean, it wasn't repairable.
You have to prioritize the gifting.
So we went.
The gifting.
We had to go. I mean, it like literally died on her way, or was dying. She was scared because she was driving to Fort Worth to go to work at that
42
time.
42 miles each direction.
Yeah. So I didn't want her to drive. So I took off. It was like a Tuesday or something. I took off. She took off. We went to like CarMax and found a car. And I said, okay, we made the deal and everything. I said, well, we're going to put some money down, a couple thousand dollars down on it. So I had to run to the bank, get the money, and I got cash. And so afterwards, we're close to White Rock Lake right over there. We go over there and there's lots of things we do over there. And so we had the car. We drove over there. We were parked at one of the parking areas, and I asked her to marry me, and I gave her the band off the money I had made it into a ring because I couldn't afford a ring now, you know.
See, so this is adulting, hashtag adulting.
You're
old enough to know you're not going to go put this much money on a credit card when you need a car.
Right.
And we're going to be living together and consolidating finances. It's important that you're safe.
Yes.
Here's a rubber band. Please marry me.
Yes.
Now you're driving a safe car.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay. So I want to hear, I've seen pictures of the wedding, and if you give me permission, I'll share some of them on our social media. So if you're listening to this, we'll show pictures of their wedding. Backyard, very low key. You mentioned 12 people, very small. I've worked with a lot of, I've not worked with a transgender couple, but I'm educated about it. I've gone through, you know, programs and certification. I want to learn more. But I've worked with gay couples, and the vows are extremely important. Part of that comes from the fact that these weddings aren't in churches with traditional, you know, pastor leading a normal ceremony. So you're kind of like, what are we going to say? But the other element is for a lot of these couples, such as yourself, that they are older and there was a time in their life when they couldn't have gotten married and now they can. That feels very heavy and wonderful. And also that they just have more life experience. So they want to be able to say to each other, whether they've been together for 20 years or a year, they want to be able to say things out loud in a way that younger couples don't put as much of a priority on. They don't feel it's as important most of the time, in my experience. So I know that you could have done this in front of 200 people if you had wanted to, but you chose to do it super small. I know there are lots of reasons for that, but I want to hear about the actual ceremony script, like what parts were like must-haves for you, and that when you were envisioning your ceremony, what you thought, like, we really have to do this because that's what I always imagined.
At first, we were just going to go to the Justice of the Peace, mostly because of finances, because we started looking around. It's like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Weddings really expensive.
Yes.
And we didn't want to go into debt for that.
Right. To start your life.
Right.
You both have jobs.
It's, right. Yeah. So we decided to do that. Well, like she had said, one of her friends said, well, I can officiate. You know, we'll find a little. We were going to originally go to White Rock Lake.
Yeah.
Somewhere just out because people do that.
Yes.
But I was walking over there, and it's like, God, there's so many people.
There are people that can just stop.
Yeah, it's not private. So one of our good friends that lives close, he had beautiful backyard, and he had all with decks on it and everything, and he had already had a wedding there before. One of our other friends had really big wedding. Yeah. So it's like he even thought about at one point making it to a wedding, renting it out. So we got that. And then other friends said, well, I'll bring a cake or she actually brought cupcakes.
I'll take pictures.
I'll do the music. I put together all the music, we started planning this. And we actually planned it in about 2 weeks. We did it in about 2 weeks' time. And
did you write your own? I know the officiant had done, your yes. friend had done a wedding before, but did you write something? I see like vows in here.
We did write our own vows.
Secret to each other until you?
No, not really. He actually, he had written his first, and then he kind of shared his with me.
Prior.
And because I was all over the place, and because the traditional vows didn't really work in this case.
Or speak to you.
And, but as he had expressed himself in different things, there were, there's a line from one of the songs in a sci-fi show that says, you can't take the sky from me. And, that became part of the theme of our wedding. And he had said it in his vows, and I repeated it again as I tied him into his, and it worked.
And
for
we played the theme song from the sci-fi show.
What show is it?
A Firefly.
Oh,
is,
oh I do. I have heard. Joss Whedon.
Yeah.
Joss Whedon.
Yeah.
Yes. I know a thing or two.
But yes, Firefly, so. The movie was Serenity.
Yes.
That was, we both, it's funny because it wasn't a well-known show. But it's got a strong following for those, and we both.
But the words in the song of the theme song are so good. So
your vows to each other that you read to each other mm-hmm. kind of coordinated.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then the officiants, had you worked on what he was going to say or were you?
No, we just told him, well, we gave him some, he said, give me some ideas. And I just basically told him what we didn't want. Yeah. Now, one thing, I wanted to have something traditional in our wedding mm-hmm. because I don't know. My tradition is background and religious is mostly Methodist. That's how I was brought up. But I feel like, you know, we don't have any traditions like Catholics do or like other ethnic groups.
Yeah.
It has that. So I was reading online about different things and they have the tie the knot is really a real thing.
Right.
I never knew that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I was trying to think of what I could make it out of. So I went to like Michael's, Joann's and found parachute cord.
Yeah.
And I did all the rainbow colors and I had to learn how to braid online to braid them together.
It almost looks like, for those of you listening, well, all of you, it almost looks like tassels on like a graduation hat or something. Those cords. It's not that.
It's real long.
Yeah, colorful and then braided. And so.
And then.
Did you guys do a hand fasting?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, great.
And I took, there's little charms on each side. And I took one side that represented stuff for Brenda and one side that represented stuff for me. And put the charms so our families would be together
when you created your own tradition.
Yeah, and it was mm-hmm. so cool. I mean, it was really neat.
Yeah.
It was a cool process for you to do ahead of time and then also that day.
I mean, I braided this myself and I've never mm-hmm. done anything like that before.
And it's a nice, like, it's a tangible artifact uh-huh. for your wedding. Michelle always makes fun of me because I talk about like things to keep afterwards and she's like, you must be a hoarder. You keep all this stuff. And it's like, no, I don't keep everything. But there are some things that do have sentimental, they don't have monetary value. They have sentimental
mm-hmm. right.
value. Mm-hmm. And occasionally, I'm going to, this display
really does.
It
yeah.
means something to mm-hmm. you. So wrapping it up, all in, like what marriage means to both of you. Tell me what marriage to each other means to both of you. And I guess if you can tell me why you made the decision, like, you know, why it made sense to make this decision after everything.
Well, for me, it's like what I said, family. I wanted to be with Brenda, and I didn't want somebody else to snatch her away.
You wanted to spend the rest of your life, grow old with.
Yes, yes, and it just made sense to get married. I mean, like I said, people look at you different when you're married. It's I've never experienced that before.
Yeah.
It's really, really neat. I mean, the way, you know, people look at you. You're a couple, they look at you, they don't ever try to separate you from,
right.
like if you're, you know, say you're going someplace with a whole group of people and there's a bunch of different cars and they're carpooling, they don't separate you two. Like, you go in this car, yeah, you go in that car. I mean, that's just a minor thing.
People I wouldn't even notice that. But you notice it because you've been with a partner before where
right,
somebody said, okay, well, if Cheryl, go over here. And it's like, no, we're together.
Right.
Or I guess it's being like society as a whole. Is this just acceptance?
Right.
You said that's your wife, that's your wife.
Right. And
so
I just wanted to make
the... Do you guys want a booth or a table? Like,
right.
You know?
Exactly, exactly. And it's so nice. And also, I just wanted to make the commitment to her, just to let her know that I wasn't going to go out and...
She had been through some crazy...
Right,
this was,
right.
Okay, so you were ready to like jump in and be like, I'm here for you, mm-hmm, for this.
Right.
And for everything.
For me, it was really neat because she had never been in the LGBT community. And so I started taking her around because even though I'm a trans man, some of the trans men go into the straight world and live.
Yeah.
But I always found the gay community accepting and a lot more fun.
You heard it here first.
Yeah. So, introducing her to the band and at the theater, we usher at a theater and,
friends that don't question anything.
Right.
They just
accept
everything. Yeah, what you say is...
Yeah, it's been fun for me because... And she started looking around all these... And she made the remark, they're just normal people. I don't know what she thought
just
before.
Like you and me.
But it's like, they do everything.
Really,
yeah, they do everything that everybody else does. You know, they're just normal people.
I love that you mentioned that because with marriage you do, whether you have a big crazy family or mm-hmm, a big crazy mm-hmm, village or a totally sane village, none of you have that, but you do get to introduce your partner into mm-hmm, your world.
Yes.
And I love that you relish that.
Mm-hmm. I do.
Yeah. And still do, because a lot of us feel a little bit apologetic when we get married to someone, like, oh, you're marrying me, which means you have to deal with whatever Christmas and Fox News and blah, 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 or whatever. But we also love that we get to share, like, now my best friends are in your life and my best friends are awesome. You're lucky to have them in your life. So you're welcome for Morin, because she is awesome. So you had this whole village behind you.
Right.
And they're all like with open arms ready
yes,
to be like, we love right, Mason. So.
And she was so shocked. I mean.
I love that.
Well, I mean, the world I came from, I had been taught, you know, this was sinful. This was wrong.
Yeah.
They're in rebellion against God. And then I'm showing up at the concert and they're
in church
and they're celebrating the police. They're celebrating the 4th of July. They're
they're
for the veterans, and I'm standing up as an Air Force veteran and because I retired from the Air Force.
And you're like bowled over by
I'm watching and I'm going.
You must have got such a kick out of that.
He's watching.
Yeah.
He's laughing at me, kind of, and I'm just kind of taking it all in.
Opened the doors to a whole other world. Mm-hmm.
Well, I learned quickly. I closed my mouth. I opened my ears. I opened my heart. And I listened because I had all these preconceived notions. And after having realized that the preconceived notions about myself were wrong, I had to, I was learning to live again. And so I just listened. And as I was immersed in this new world, it was amazing. And unlike him, I had been in marriage. I had that was normal
right,
for me. But I was just on the wrong side of the marriage.
Right.
And I tried so hard to be on the right side of the marriage and to be that person. But inside, I am who I am. And so, once I had accepted who I am, as we started to get together, it became very clear that I loved him.
And how was your chance to be on the right side?
On the right side. I have been, I was the best man at my brother's wedding, the groom at mine, a bridesmaid later on at my friend Ginger's ceremony, and then bride for my own.
Yeah.
And so, I like being able to be myself.
Sure.
Most people take it for granted that they are who they are, and that as whoever they, as they're growing up, that's who they are.
Yeah.
when you're transgender, it's not so simple. It's getting better. It's getting better because now kids are able to say, hey, mom, dad,
they're able to know the word.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm so thankful. And for those who think that, you need to wait for transgender kids to become adults before they change to make up their mind. Oh, you have no idea what you're doing to those kids.
Well, we don't have any idea because we aren't those kids. So we have to, people change by hearing and listening, like you said.
And so it is so nice to actually be myself. And, I had to sit there because of what you said earlier. You know, Brenda, you're jumping into things. Brenda, isn't this going very fast? And so I had to look at it objectively and go, okay, is there anything about him that I am just being blind to?
Good question.
That is there something that he is doing now?
Ignoring.
Exactly. And I had to think about it, and it's like, okay, this is what I was looking for in a husband. And that helps is that, think about, I have been told that pray for the spouse that you want. Pray what's on your heart, because God knows. And whether you are religious and you believe in God, or you simply believe in the universe, or you don't believe in anything and you believe in the power of your own will, when you think about what it is that you're looking for in a person,
right,
you find it a whole lot easier.
Right?
You don't know everything. I just knew I wanted somebody who would look at me and see me like I was 5 years down the road, but accept
you mean
me
just solidly a woman in every way, and
but accept me exactly how I was at that moment.
Right.
And he did. And the way he looked at me, that made it so easy. And on our first date, when I reached over and gave him a kiss on the cheek, that was the first time I'd ever done that to a man, and on his beard, and I liked it.
Yeah.
And so when we started, because after that first date, because we talked together, we had talked for 2 weeks. After that first date, though, we started talking more seriously. And we started to talk about our religions, our political backgrounds, what we accept, and what different things that were important to us. And we started to hash them out. And as we did that, we were learning, but we started, we knew, because we'd been in relationships before.
You're going into this with eyes open.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey. So it wasn't as impulsive as I originally thought, because it was a longer courtship than your first.
It was. Yeah. It was longer than my first
and
one.
And you were at the point in your life where you could kind of cut the bullshit a little bit and just be as upfront and direct as possible, knowing you both want the same thing. Mm-hmm. We both want marriage individually. So now what do we need to find out from each other to make sure that this is the right move for the two of us together?
Funny thing is I knew I wanted marriage. I wasn't sure he wanted it at first. That's why I made sure he knew I wanted it.
Yeah.
And because, like he said, it had never been an option to him.
Right.
He kind of wanted it, but he never really thought it ever could be a possibility.
Right.
And so when I start talking marriage, he's kind of looking at it, and he's the planner, and he's thinking down the road. So as we were having our conversations, we talked about politics. We talked about religion. We talked about different social things. We had to.
Yeah.
And as he would run in to say, you're not one of these people that thinks this. And I'd say, actually, I am.
Yeah.
And it'd be like, but I believe in looking at a person, and I'm fine with it. And he had to look at it and go, well, am I fine with that? And as we talked it through, it took
out of your comfort zones a little bit.
We were, because our backgrounds were so different.
Yeah. Well, the biggest thing that scared me was the super religious, very conservative.
Yes. And also, is there some underlying self-hatred there?
Yeah.
Well,
my main concern with that more was, is she going to try to convert me? Because I've been around a lot of religious people, and they always try to convert you to their ideas.
And you were solidly...
Oh, yeah.
But if you go to church, it's not... Yeah.
Yeah.
So you had to kind of get that out in the open.
Right.
I'm so glad that you guys found each other and are really at peace with every decision that's come up to this point. Like you said, Brenda, sometimes it's one step back, two steps forward with jobs and, loss and, family stuff. But I would imagine that the journey is better because you're together, so, or easier, more joyful.
It's life is never going to be easy. And so when you think it's just going to be easy and it's rough because of it. No, it's going to be rough no matter what.
There are always struggles.
It doesn't matter. I mean, if you have all the money in the world, those people still have serious problems. So with us, we didn't have a lot of money, but we did have a love for one another. We had a deep respect for one another. And those two things are very important. And I had to respect exactly who he was. And like you said, not try to change him. And that's one thing I realized. I have to accept him as he is. If there's something that he needs to change for me to get married, then that's, I can't do that to him or to myself. And he did the same.
Vitally important to you at that time of your life specifically, but also just even now, like you said, that he loves me for who I could be or who I'm going to be in 5 years, but accepts me and loves me also for who I am right now, which is somebody still very much in the midst of,
of my transition. But he had been down the road before.
Right.
And, there are some trans couples who try to make the journey together at the same time. I'm not the person who's going to tell somebody that not to do something. What I can tell you is that that's extremely difficult because he was in a stable position. And we've seen so many couples that we've known who are trying to transition at the same time. And you need to be able to rely upon the other person.
Yeah.
Because there's times when you are going to melt down.
Yes.
Because your life, it's just gone awry. And you need somebody who can say, I'm here.
I've been there.
Yeah. It will get better. I got this. Yeah. And he's able to do that. And had he been transitioning at the same time, it probably would not have worked.
Yeah, I can see why there was a comfort in your experience having been different, but also in the past. And you're on 2 feet now, and you can kind of see the trees for the forest or whatever that saying is. But like to be able to say, like, I'm here, I made it, I can help you, or I can just listen, be here with you. But, you know, it is going to be okay, and it does get better, which we...
Well, and that with me, the financial burden of, even though I'm the woman in my relationship, I'm the one who's paying the child support and the spousal support, divorce, with the alimony and so on. And so I'm the one who's getting a lot of my income siphoned off and to take care of other things, you know, and also take care of my kids, which is important. But that's happening with me, and all of a sudden, you know, that's throwing in other stressors.
Yeah, because it makes it a little bit more you have to depend on him a little bit more in a way that you're not used to.
And he's good with money, and I'm not.
Well, that was a good thing to talk about before marriage also, you know, to kind of like not hash out exactly how much is in your checking account, but like two people who are not good with money. That can be rough for a marriage.
I spent less than $200 on my dress. Our friend brought wedding cupcakes. Other people brought snacks. Our friend provided the venue.
Yeah.
My friend did my makeup. A friend officiated the wedding in his Hufflepuff robe. And all of that went on. And we had a dozen people at the wedding. And every one of them meant something to us, and every one of them had a part in the wedding in some way, and it was so special. I did not have a big $5,000, $10,000, $50,000 wedding party with all these people that I barely knew, spending all this money we didn't have. We spent more money on our rings.
Right, rings were most important, expensive.
Yeah. But that was important to us. So we spent money on the rings, on the wedding bands. And I didn't even get a real engagement ring. The promise ring he had given me without a stone on it is what I still carry around my neck at times. And it still means so much to me. But that was the thing, is that we didn't spend a lot of money on the stuff that down the road wasn't going to matter. We spent the money on the stuff that was going to make a difference for us.
And yet it was a beautiful experience.
It was.
I
mean,
I wouldn't ask for anything different.
The wedding day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were actually going to do it low key, and then later on, like later on in October or something, do a more expensive wedding.
Yeah, or a reception for yeah. more friends or something.
Yeah. Yeah, but what happened was we decided not to do that, and then I lost my job in September, and we were going to do this in October. If we had waited.
Yeah.
If we had waited, we would not have had the wedding we had.
Right. Oh, right, right.
Yeah, because we wanted to get married on Friday the 13th, and there was one in October.
Oh.
October, yeah. Friday
so
the 13th.
So you did do that.
Well,
but, we settled for May the
13th. Oh, well, I get it. So you put it off because of...
We got married sooner.
Oh, yeah. Got married sooner because you knew, like, we're not going to plan a big shebang now,
right.
So let's just do it.
Right. Yes,
with the money we
did marry on May 13th.
Yeah, which is, so you'll have an anniversary on Friday, yeah. the 13th at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to cut it off here, but thank you again. Thank you for being on the podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us. We enjoyed you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Big Wedding Planning Podcast. It was an honor for me to interview Mason and Brenda, and I'm really glad we were able to put this together and put it out, especially during Pride Month. So happy Pride. And yes, thanks again for listening. So now for all the social media to get in touch with us, the best way is on email. If you have questions or comments or ideas, please shoot us an email. TheBigWeddingPlanningPodcast@gmail.com. We're on Facebook, TBWP Podcast, or you can search The Big Wedding Planning Podcast. We also have a community group there, and that's fairly new, and it's going really well, and we love interacting with listeners there, and there's some great conversations going on between listeners as well. So hit up that group and ask to be approved, and we'll let you in, and you can join the party. On Instagram, it's The Big Wedding Planning Podcast. And we're also hashtagging everything, hashtag plan that wedding. On Twitter, TBWP Podcast. We have a phone number. If you want to call and leave us a message, you might hear your voice on an upcoming Yawa. You ask, we answer. That phone number is 415-723-1625. And also we have a Patreon account, which is a wonderful way to support us. If you love some of the advice that we're giving or are finding us useful in any way with wedding planning, $5 or $10 a month goes such a long way. We're able to produce this show because of listeners on Patreon in part. So please, please, if you're feeling generous, go to patreon.com, patreon.com/thebigweddingplanningpodcast. Also, we both offer consulting. So for 2 hours, it's a one-on-one like video chat with listeners. And we've done this many times now, and we absolutely love it. If you have a need for a little bit of wedding therapy or want to talk about your floor plans or your contracts or dive into some issues you have with something that you're dealing with wedding planning, we are happy to schedule that and talk to you. So please just email us for that. Get in touch with us any way you want. We love you. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next Wednesday.